westbound Thorndale Avenue. This is actually looking east from the interchange. Westbound Thorndale Avenue, which backs up at the existing traffic signals. Another high volume of and high percentage of truck traffic on Thorndale Avenue. And really, that's not where trucks belong. Trucks don't belong on a local arterial roadway. And that's what this project is really all about. It's about getting these trucks to their destinations in an efficient manner.
I'm just trying to get a visual of what a three-level would look like. What does that mean?
Yeah, so there'll be flyover ramps that will be constructed over what's there today.
Okay.
So we have level one is I-290, and then Thorndale Avenue is over that today. But we're actually building a flyover, and I'll have some shots of that that you'll see.
Gotcha.
Yep.
Thank you.
Another kind of transportation problem at this interchange is that's the exit ramp from 290 to Thorndale. Traffic destined for the Elgin O'Hare Expressway today has to exit at that ramp and travel through two signalized intersections. It was three before construction, but that signal at Rowling Road is now has now been removed. But it causes that ramp to really back up every morning rush and every evening rush. This is an example of, we do have live images on the tollway website that are really, they're updated every 15 minutes, and they really give you a good view of a lot of the projects. So this, one of the cameras takes photos at the 290 interchange. We also have them at the Elmhurst Road interchange, at I-90, and then at Rowling. But this is an example here. That's the flyover ramp that's being constructed in the distance. And that's the ramp that's under construction now. It's going to carry the westbound 290 to westbound Illinois 390 Elgin O'Hare movement. We do anticipate opening that ramp later this summer. And we anticipate that's going to really provide a good traffic benefit. That traffic will not have to exit at that exit ramp after that flyover structure is open. It's a 2,100-foot long bridge, nine spans. And just to give you some perspective on the amount of construction out here, that steel is over 6 million pounds that's on that structure. Another shot of the 290 interchange. This is looking south. Again, heavily traveled corridor on 290, over 200,000 vehicles travel on 290. Every day. This is the south end of the flyover bridge, and then we have newly constructed noise walls along the east side of I-290 that were installed last year. Another shot. This is actually looking back west at the from the 290 interchange. This is 290 in the foreground. What you see being constructed here are piles for the bridge abutments. That's actually going to be the new westbound 390 main line that'll cross over 290, and then a center pier has been constructed for that bridge.
So, this picture kind of gives you an idea of the three levels we're talking about.
Yeah, this is
290 is the bottom.
Yeah.
390 is going to be in the middle, and the ramps are going to be the third level.
Right. So that's the first flyover, and there'll be a second flyover that's going to be constructed essentially north of there, but that'll carry the complementary movement from the north to the east. The entire 290 interchange is scheduled for completion by the end of 2017, but again, the movements to and from the west are anticipated to be opened at the end of 2015. This is a shot of Illinois 390 mainline bridges. So we're doing advanced work along the Thorndale corridor as part of the extension. That's ongoing. We're building bridges over Salt Creek, over Lively Boulevard, and this is over Mattel Boulevard. This is just kind of illustrating retaining walls, and some aesthetic treatments have been incorporated into the retaining walls for the bridge abutment. There's a leaf form liner, and then there's the retaining wall form liner. And this is all kind of part of the tollway's actual base treatment here. And it's it's really enhancing the corridor and what we're doing out there. Just to touch on tolling again, this is going to be the first all-electronic roadway on the tollway system. Again, the gantries are going to start to be installed next week on the western end of the project, west of 290. The tolling will not begin next week, so we will be installing the no tolls taken sign to ensure that motorists are aware of that fact. But the tolling will is expected to begin following completion of the major segments. So the first segment, Lake Street to Rowling Road, that collection is scheduled to begin in the summer of 2016. And then that would be followed by the second segment, which would be extending from there to Route 83 by the end of 17. The details for the north-south corridor are still in development. We're still early in the design phase, and those will be developed as we move along.
So, excuse me, can you tell us in two sentences what it means to have all electronic tolling? It sounds obvious, but
sure.
You don't pay cash, right?
You don't pay cash at the time. So, for those who are used to traveling on the rest of the tollway system, particularly when you're on the main line, you know, you get up to a toll plaza and you can see there's the open road section where you can just drive through the gantry, or you can pull off to the right and pay cash at a toll booth. We for this particular infrastructure and doing the analysis, you know, our current usage of electronic or iPass transponder tolls, you know, we're at 87%. We continue to grow. So it just didn't make financial sense to purchase the extra right-of-way and put the infrastructure in to collect cash on the Elgin O'Hare. I think the projected transponder usage on the Elgin O'Hare is even a little bit higher than the rest of the tollway system. So this will be built as an all-electronic roadway, which means people will just see the gantries out there. We are working through and we'll be working with the customer service committee on some business rules on how to handle people who don't have a transponder or don't have the ability to pay electronically. We already have post-pay on the tollway system, so you can pay a missed toll within 7 days, go online and pay or send in a check or some type of payment within 7 days, and we work very hard to make sure that people catch up on those tolls if they choose to take advantage of that option. But I think with the new back office or new electronic toll collection system handling the back office of that enterprise, which you'll hear more about in your orientation, we think there's an opportunity to do some more innovative and interesting things for folks who don't have a transponder or would typically be a cash user for a system like this. But the finances just didn't make sense for us to make the investment in all that infrastructure when, frankly, there were going to be very few cash users from the projections, from what we learned from the existing tollway system and the projections. We wanted to put the gantries in this early because we want to test the equipment thoroughly, of course, and make sure everything's working, and that takes time. So we hope that our friends from the media will help us spread the word to the general public that just because they're driving under a gantry doesn't mean that they're paying a toll at that point in time, but that was important to us too. So,
thanks. Sorry to interrupt.
That was more than two sentences. I admit it.
I'm going to start being much more ruthless as the meeting moves on.
So this is what the gantries are going to look like. There's just two gantries at each location. Three toll collection points in each direction. Six toll collection points total. And those will go up, again, starting next week, and that allows, as Chrissy said, to give us time to install equipment, wire up the tubes, test, and then connect back into our backbone fiber optic system. So this is rates and locations. Again, in general, this is a closed toll collection system. That's being employed on the Elgin O'Hare. There's the collection points are located between interchanges. There are a couple of ramp locations, but this is showing the 390 corridor. So from the west, there's the first location is between Lake Street and Irving Park. That rate is going to be 30 cents. And then between Irving Park and Roselle Road, 35 cents. And then Roselle Road to Meacham is the 60 cent toll. So that's those are the plazas and collection points that'll be in place for the first section that will open to tolling in 2016, summer 2016. And those rates are based upon the distance traveled between between the interchanges. And then to the east, the section that will be opened by the end of 2017, those rates are, again, 25 cents at the Arlington Heights Kedder location. Between Arlington Heights and Wooddale Road, 20 cents, and then 20 cents Wooddale Road to Route 83. The ramp toll rate change at the Kedder ramp that was referenced earlier is shown here. That's been dropped from 25 cents to 20 cents based upon the studies that were done. So again, on average, this is still adhering to the average 20 cents per mile rate. So this entire section is 10.5 miles for the entire east-west. And that total toll would be $1.90 if you're traveling from Lake Street all the way to Route 83. In terms of next steps, we're going to continue. The tollway has convened a local advisory committee for this project that meets on a regular basis, monthly or bimonthly. We're going to continue with those meetings and community outreach activities to keep the public informed. Continue development on the north-south corridor and finalize that design. And then develop some business rules that will guide the notification and violation structure. So it's anticipated that the business rules will be presented in July. And then the alternative payment methods that were referenced earlier are going to be further discussed and developed. And I think among those are potentially online, a temporary pass, or potentially a future smartphone app. So with that, I can open up for questions.
I'd just like to commend Chairman Mills and the board and Christine and your staff on the great job that you've done on this. You've taken what was a hope for many people that they negotiated and talked about for years and years and turned it into a reality. So thank you for all your hard work. You guys have done a tremendous job with this.
And we would compliment all the people at the local level who were in the original group that put together the concepts and got agreement among the local communities, which we know was not easy, to figure out how to give us the opportunity to be able to do that. So we
provided great leadership. And
thank you.
Put us in the footing there.
And we have a great staff that's executing, so you can't do better than this. Thank you very much.
Appreciate it. Christy, did you have anything else?
I don't have anything else. I'll do brief introductions of the mini presentations in each section, but we'll keep them short.
Okay, so we're not going to be here through dinner, and I am going to start being a little bit ruthless, but I'd like to strike the balance between making sure there's enough information that nobody is confused about what's going on, but not so much that people are overwhelmed or bored. So what I need to do first, because we posted the actual items as part of the consent agenda, is ask for a motion to suspend the consent agenda. Second.
Second.
David, would you like to say anything about this? Or?
Well, no, it's just a nice practice so that it's very clear for all watching and for the record that you're going to be taking each individual item on the agenda as if we were doing it back in committee. So we'll make proper streamlined presentations that everybody will feel comfortable voting on this.
Okay. So I have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? Okay. We'll go ahead then and we'll walk through these. Why don't we start then with procurement?
Yeah. So John Donato, who's our chief of procurement, is going to give a very brief, and I think we need to probably abbreviate further, presentation of his, a little mini presentation of his department. You'll get more in the orientation session, but we really wanted to focus in on the procurement method used for whatever's on the agenda under the different sections. And as you can see on procurement, we really only have about one item. John's area deals with procurement for goods and services, so things other than construction and construction-related activities fall within John and his department's purview. And they also, of course, help out, you know, processing, doing some work on the construction-related activities as well. So, John.
Thank you, Christy, and good morning again, everyone. I'll try to be as brief as possible. So,
Right.
And I don't want you to start being ruthless here either. So, anyway, just a brief overview. I've been the chief of procurement here at the Tollway for a little over 4 years now, and I have over 10 years of procurement experience in our state. And as Christy said, my department is essentially responsible for purchasing commodities, equipment, and contractual services, but we also do assist with the engineering department and all of their activities as well. So here's just a brief org chart of our department. Sharon Ferguson, who introduced herself earlier, is our deputy chief of the department. And in addition to the purchasing staff in our department, we're also responsible for our warehouse operations. We have a warehouse that's about 5 miles west of here in Naperville, right off of I-88 and Naperville Road. So that's under our purview. So without getting too detailed, I'll dive into this further during the upcoming orientation meeting. I just wanted to give everybody a little visual of all the entities or players that are involved in the procurement process. Briefly, the first one is the Executive Ethics Commission, also the EEC. They are responsible for appointing a chief procurement officer who has the ultimate procurement authority in our state. So about 55, 60 agencies that are under the governor, that CPO, chief procurement officer, it has the authority from a procurement standpoint. In the next box, I don't know if you could read it or not, that's the tollway, and I have a dotted line going to that box because you could really substitute us with any other agency as we'd all fit into that this structure. The third one is the Department of Central Management Services, also known as CMS. That's the administrative agency to the governor's office. They're responsible for putting together master contracts with all the state agencies can then utilize, and that also would include local governments and municipalities. They are also responsible for the state's diversity program, also known as the Business Enterprise Program, and are also responsible for the Veterans Program as well. Governor's Office of Management and Budget, also known as GOMBI, they review our procurements from a fiscal standpoint, so even though we're a non-appropriate agency, they still review and approve all of our procurements above the $50,000 threshold. Procurement Policy Board, they review all of the award notices that the agency posts on the procurement bulletin, and they also are the entity responsible for reviewing and making determinations on potential conflicts of interest that may be identified in a vendor's proposal. And the section of the statutes that governs procurement and this whole structure that's outlined here is the Illinois Procurement Code. So if you ever hear us say the code or the procurement code, that's the governing statute that we follow here in our state. And related to that is the JCAR rules, the Joint Committee of Administrative Rules. Essentially what that is the procurement rules fleshed out in a little bit more detail. And again, I'll spare you the rest until later. So procurement approvals, what do you see here in this boardroom setting? What do you see here and what don't you see here? And first, before I dive into that, there's really two different methods in which we acquire goods and services. There are tollway-led procurements, and there are CMS-led procurements. So in the tollway-led procurements, we are the ones who go through the procurement process from the identification of the need to the actual execution of a contract. And all of those awards that are $50,000 and above will be formally presented here in the boardroom setting.
John, let's skip ahead. I mean, if this is okay, I think they understand. Let's skip ahead to the IFB, if that's okay with everyone. This gives you a sense of the thresholds that you'll see.
Sure. Again, yeah, I'll go into this
so that
later on in the orientation.
For bid,
yeah.
Today is really the primary item.
Okay, so these are all the approaches that we utilize in procuring our goods and services, and the one I'm really going to touch on today is the invitation for bids, or IFB. And I'm mentioning this because the one item that's on our agenda for today, we utilize this method to procure those goods. Okay? So what is an IFB? Well, these are contracts in which that we award the procurement to the lowest responsible and responsive bidder. These are situations where we know exactly what we want, and we just are focused on the price. So responsible bidder, an example, is somebody who is a legal entity authorized to do business in our state. They don't have any past performance issues with the agency, so we consider them a responsible bidder. Responsive bidder is one that meets all the requirements as set forth in the solicitation. They met all of our specifications. They submit all their state-required forms. So that would deem them to be a responsive bidder. The average time for an invitation to bid from the beginning of the identification of the need to the completion is anywhere in the neighborhood from 6 to 7 months. Okay. And all of our procurements, by the way, that are 50,000 above, are published online in the Illinois Procurement Bulletin. That's a site that all the vendor community would use to not only view the tollways, but all of their state agency procurements and award notices. So again, this is just a 30,000-foot view of what we do. And again, you'll learn more during the orientation meeting. Any questions?
It's a very complicated procurement process with lots of safeguards and has caused us both a lot of confidence that we're doing things right, but also a lot of concern that it really does take time. So it was a long, long lead time, as you'll see.
Yeah.
And it's a balancing act.
Okay. Thank you.
So now I think we can present this one item.
John, you want to just talk about this quickly?
Sure. It's my pleasure. So, again, we only have one item on the agenda, and that is an award of an invitation for bids to purchase industrial supplies that we will utilize on an as-needed basis throughout a one-year term. This contract will primarily be used by roadway and operations personnel. Some of the items that are to be included in this contract are padlocks, wheelbarrows, asphalt rakes, shovels, adhesives, and small equipment tools, just to name a few. The proposed vendor is a woman-owned business, and they're certified in the state's Business Enterprise Program, and they're also a registered small business in the state's Small Business Subsidy Program. Award is recommended to Cicero Manufacturing and Supply Company Incorporated in an amount not to exceed $101,330.60.
So if you click on the blue item on the agenda, it will give you the background material on the process. And Nancy, thank goodness, does it for us up here. Okay, are there any questions or comments on this one? May I hear a motion?
Motion approved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Any recusals or abstentions? Okay, thank you. That's been approved. Thank you. Return to engineering. Thanks, Paul.
Thank you, Chair.
Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Good morning again, directors.
Good morning.
I want to be as brief as possible. I think one of the things I would like you to know is that engineering's responsibilities are primarily maintenance of the roadway. We monitor traffic 24/7, 365 days a year. The road never shuts down, so we really are on board all the time. The other thing is, engineering is responsible delivering the capital program improvements, and we cannot do anything without the board's approval. So almost all of my items that I bring to the board are related to this capital program. We do have some maintenance items, as I mentioned. We are maintaining the roadway, so there's equipment and there's materials required to maintain the roadway. So that usually comes through Mr. Donato's agenda items. And then we also play a key role in developing intergovernmental agreements and utility agreements, and Mr. Goldberg usually presents those items on his legal agenda. This is an overview of the engineering department. As the chief engineer, I'm responsible to ensure the safety and integrity of the tollway's infrastructure, and I'm also responsible for seeing that our capital programs are delivered in accordance with the budget and the schedule, and then also that they meet all the federal, state, and local requirements that may govern that work. And what you should know is I get a lot of help. There's excellent leadership within engineering. I have deputy chiefs helping me in all these key areas: planning, maintenance and traffic, design and construction, contract services division. Engineering actually does all their preparation of their documents and advertising of their documents and shepherding the contracts through the various stages that they have to go to before I can issue a notice to proceed and actually get people working on that work. We also get a lot of help from consultants. We do employ
a few key consultants. I'll talk more about them in a minute. These are the typical items that you'll see, and I'm going to go and explain a little bit about each one, so I won't spend any more time on this slide. The construction contracts, that's really the bulk of our work. A lot of the, you know, about 75% of the program dollars are going into the construction side of things. As John described, the IFB process, that is what holds through on all of our construction contracts. We are obligated by law to award these contracts to the lowest responsive and responsible bidder. We put out our contracts for advertisement publicly. We open bids publicly and read them out. We webcast them now. Then we go into a pretty intense review of those bids. We get help from diversity and legal and procurement as necessary. I also have our designer of record, the consultant firm that actually put these contract documents together for us, and our program management office, who's kind of overseeing the whole program and has experience on all the projects that are going on. They review these bids also, and they give me a written recommendation on how to proceed with it. They actually give me a recommendation to award this. So once I get those materials in, I come to the board and present the item to you. We route the contract around for signatures, and we don't issue them notice to proceed until it's fully signed and executed. Professional service contracts, so these are all the engineering contracts. The key ones that we have, which are really operating as almost an extension of our own engineering staff, are our program management office. As I mentioned, they're monitoring and helping engineering at the tollway manage this big capital program. We also have a general engineering consultant. They are required per our trust indenture. They do annual inspections of the system, and they provide certifications to our bondholders that everything's being taken care of, you know, as they expect it to be. We have a traffic engineer on board. That's also a trust indenture requirement. They produce all of our traffic and revenue projections so that, you know, Mike can do his job and make sure we're getting the right amount of money to cover this work. Design and construction management. So all of our design, we don't do in-house design at the tollway. We shop all that out to consultants who help us prepare the contract documents for us, and there's a lot of phases those design documents go through and a lot of coordination that has to happen. And then we hire construction management firms to actually oversee our work for us, and their key aspect of their work is they're monitoring the contractor's progress, making sure that all the documentation is in place so that we only pay them for the work that's done and that meets our specifications. And there we have a lot of miscellaneous professional services. We get help on survey. We get help on geotechnical analysis. We get help on some land acquisition aspects of our work, so we will have those contracts too. All of our firms are required to be IDOT pre-qualified. I didn't mention this under the contractors, but the guys doing construction, the contractors, they are also required to have an IDOT pre-qualification. So we don't have our own internal pre-qualification process. We kind of draft off of the Department of Transportation. And really, the people working for us are the same people that are working for the department. We advertise all of our professional services on bulletins. We are fortunate in northeastern Illinois that we have a lot of people who are qualified to do our work and actually do great work for us. On our last bulletin, for example, we got 232 responses from 121 firms, and we just advertised 12 items. So just the processing of these bulletins is a big effort for engineering. We got a very robust process for evaluating these statements of interest, we call them, that come in from the consultants. It's a tiered process. And actually, the first step is we got to make sure that they've complied with all the requirements that they're supposed to have, like they have the IDOT pre-qual. And that happens in our contract services unit. They make sure that the statement is valid and can be evaluated. And then we have a tier one. We have a scoring effort where at least two people out of engineering, and actually now we're upping it to three, they actually review these statements of interest, all 232 in detail. Nobody is responsible for reviewing all 232. They have certain items assigned to them. They score each one of these. Those results are then brought to the Tier 2 folks, and that's usually myself and deputy chiefs in engineering. And what we're evaluating in Tier 2 is these scores are very, very close. Really, there'll be 30 submittals on one item, but the top five are all highly qualified. So we start looking, you know, are there conflicts between multiple items? Like, did the same firm score out number one on five items? I can't select them on five items. So we do some of that balancing in Tier 2. And then we actually have a formal selection committee that meets, and that's a selection committee that's approved by the executive director. In the past, it's been myself, two deputy chiefs out of engineering, Gustavo Giraldo out of diversity. And we also have an independent participant. It's Fred Coleman. He's from University of Illinois. And we get a recommendation from Illinois Society of Professional Engineers or American Council of Engineering Companies for that person. And then usually John Fortman from IDOT District 1, he'll participate as an observer because the same people are working for him, and you know, we share information amongst each other so that we're not overlapping on selections. But after the selection's done, we're required by law to rank them 1, 2, and 3, and we're only allowed to begin negotiations with number 1 after the selection. So then we sit down, and I'd say 99.9% of the time we do reach agreement with the number 1 firm. And then after we've negotiated that, I bring that to the board and recommend award of the contract to them. We do have a need to supplement our professional engineering service contracts from time to time, and that's basically to cover things that were not known or were not included in the consultant's original contract. We negotiate those with them also. We document in a staff summary sheet that the internal to the tollway where we justify the reasons and the dollar amount and how it's going to be funded. And I bring those to the board also for approval. So a $1 change in an engineering contract requires board approval. So once you approve the upper limit of compensation, we can't spend more than that unless we come back to you and ask for the additional monies. We do have contract renewals from time to time, and those are built into the original contract. It'll say your initial term is 3 years with an allowable 1 or 2 year renewal. We bring those to the board too, and we negotiate them at the time, you know, the contract's up. So with the large capital program, there are going to be a lot of changes in construction, and this is a very important aspect of our work because what we want to do is keep those projects moving in the field. If a contractor runs into something that's not covered in the contract documents, we don't want him to stop and have to delay his activities for an extended period of time because that translates into huge money to the agency. We already are operating with a very short window for construction in this area. You know, we're roughly running our operation between March and November. We try to push it beyond those limits, but it's very critical for us to keep the jobs moving forward. And we have a very robust process for evaluating and reviewing all these changes that are occurring. And we've actually, you know, since 2005 when we really started implementing these big capital programs, about 15,000 changes have been processed on construction contracts, but what I want you to know is that even with all that huge volume of changes, and because we can only pay for the items that are included in the contract unless we add new items, but even with all those changes, we're still within 0.5% of all the monies we spend. So these changes have not resulted in huge overruns. They've all been critical and necessary to keeping the project moving forward. We have an independent C5 committee, which was established by the board, to review all these changes as they come in from the field. So these folks are independent. They're like our own internal auditors. They review it and determine whether or not this is a change that can actually move forward. Was it consistent with the scope of the project? Is it consistent? You know, are they explaining it in a manner that justifies additional monies? Once that C5 committee makes a recommendation to either approve this or reject this recommendation or this authorization for change, it goes to different levels. Our project managers can give the contractor direction to move forward with these additional work items if it's less than $30,000. I review all of them just as a matter of course. Anything below $100,000, I'm allowed to authorize the contractor to move forward with that work. Below $150,000 is the executive director's approval level. Below $200,000 is the chair's. And any change that really results in a big modification over $200,000, I come to the board and I explain that change to you in person. If there's an emergency and we need to move forward with this work immediately. We do have a built into the process that the executive director can reach out to two of the board members and obtain advance approval to move forward with this work. And then we will bring it to the board at the very next time that the board meets and give you a full explanation to everyone.
And the board is notified of all of these, even though you're not involved in it, you'll know if those changes have been made.
Correct. Releases of retainage. So, per our trust indenture, we do have to withhold money until the contractor completes his work. So it's 10%. They're allowed to reduce it to 5% when they get 50% done with the work. We cannot release any retainage beyond 5% unless we get board approval for that. And land acquisition items is the last item, and that is primarily most of those items are related to us complying with the DiBenedetto resolution, which pretty much just says that the tollway has an obligation to identify and describe parcels that we may need to acquire by condemnation. So we do provide that list with you in advance. We do allow you to discuss that in an executive session, and you take a vote on it. I know I went fast. There's a lot of information on our website. I know you all are getting a lot of information, but you know, this is the overview. Thank you.
Item one is a construction contract award. It's for improvements to our parking lots at our maintenance facilities in DeKalb and Dixon. We got two bids on this contract, and award is recommended to Fox Excavating, who's a low bidder at $1,860,355.40. Item two, this is a construction contract award. And I reference these contracts. This is a demolition and board up services for buildings and site restoration on the north-south bypass of the Elsinore Air Western Access Corridor. All this work is going to be occurring within Franklin Park. We got three bids on this job. We're recommending award to Lake County Grading Company, who's the low bidder at $3,945,420. Lake County Grading is serving for the tollway as a first time as a prime contractor. Item three is a construction contract award, also for building demo. We're doing three industrial structures in Franklin Park, also along the Elsinore Western Access. We got two bids, and we recommend award to Outlook Design and Construction, Inc., who's a low bidder at $628,905. This is their first time acting as a vendor on a tollway contract. They are an African-American female firm, and they participated in the tollway's construction business development center. So this whole program is designed to try to bring new firms into tollway work, and it's proving to be successful.
And you'll see in the background material what the minority set aside or goal is, and how that's being fulfilled and who the companies are going to do it. Are we deferred?
Item four is going to be deferred.
Why don't we take one through three then for a vote, if that's okay? Unless there are any questions on that. May I hear a motion?
Motion approved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? I've not been notified of any recusals. Okay, no recusals, no abstentions. Thank you. Paul will go to five then.
Item five is a construction contract award, and this is for construction of New Illinois Route 390. Between Park Boulevard and Arlington Heights Road. We got seven bids on this contract. Award is recommended to F.H. Pash and S.I. Nielsen and Associates, who is the low bidder at $59,117,000. I really like the fact that we got seven bidders, so we know we're getting some competitive pricing here. And you see that it did come in below the engineer's estimates, so we're happy about that, and also within our budget. Item six, this is a construction contract award. It's for communications, power, and intelligent transportation system infrastructure. It's going to be installed on the Jane Addams Memorial Tollway between the Elgin Toll Plaza to the Kennedy Expressway. The tollway is implementing a new ITS element to our work called Active Traffic Management, which is going to give us the ability to communicate with our motorists in real time.
We got three bids on this contract. The awards recommend to Mead Incorporated is the low bidder at $26,046,535.08. Now we're moving into the professional service items. And these were all selections that were made off of PSB 14-3, which we had selections on, I believe, a few weeks ago. Item 7, yes.
All the directors will be notified when the bulletin goes out. You'll also be informed during the orientation what the requirements are in terms of the State Ethics Act about your ability to be able to communicate about these items with anybody at the time the bidding is going on. So that's why you get the professional the notification the professional bulletin is going out, and then you'll be on guard to make sure that you are following the state ethics rules.
So item 7 is a professional service contract. It's for design services. Upon request, what they're basically going to be doing is helping us develop a truck parking master plan and also do some truck parking designs for us. Award is recommended to the DME firm, Singing Associates, an amount not to exceed $2,500,000. Item 8 is a professional service contract for construction management services on the Elgin O'Hare Western Access Extension from Lively Boulevard to York Road. Award is recommended to Clark Dietz in the amount not to exceed $5,564,595.40. And you see on all these professional service contracts, they do also commit to meet our DBE goals, and typically they exceed our DBE goals. Item number 9 is a professional service contract for construction management. Upon request for system-wide projects, award is recommended to the WB firm, Terra Engineering, an amount not to exceed $2 million. They're going to be overseeing primarily some lighting contracts and upgrades on our system. Item 10 is a professional service contract, also for construction management services upon request. Award is recommended to the DMSBE firm, Engineering Services Group, and the amount not to exceed $2 million. ESG is committed to exceed our DBE requirement, and they're applying. So. Item 11 is a professional service contract for construction management services upon request. Award is recommended to Harry O. Hefter and Associates, an amount not to exceed $4 million. They've also committed to meeting our DBE requirement. I believe also we've specified veterans' goals on all these, and you'll see on the item agendas they show that those are all being met too. Item 12 is a professional service contract. This is for land acquisition and survey services. Award is recommended to Matthewson Right-of-Way Company / Dynasty Group. It's a joint venture, an amount not to exceed $3 million. The joint venture is committed to meet our DBE requirement. Matthewson will be serving as a first-time prime on a tollway contract. Item 13 is also for professional services related to land acquisition and survey. Award is recommended to Hampton, Lanzini, and Renwick in the amount not to exceed $3 million. Item 14 is a professional service contract for traffic operations and maintenance performance evaluation. They're going to be assisting us with some of our intelligent transportation system monitoring and also design and construction. They're going to be helping us evaluate that. Award is recommended to Kimley Horn and Associates, an amount not to exceed $5 million. They also have a mentor-protege agreement with a DBE firm called ITS Engineering, and they will also be exceeding our DBE requirement. So that's it for the professional service contract awards.
Do you want to take those all at once? So why don't we take items 5 through 15?
14.
Right. May I hear a motion?
Motion to approve.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Any recusals or abstentions? Okay, thank you. We'll go to 15 to 20.
So the next three are supplements to engineering contracts. We don't typically have a lot of supplements, but I will point out that
you know, of the 407 professional service contracts that we have implemented with our programs since 2005, the supplements have, you know, that dollar represented by that number of contracts was $1.5 billion, and overall, those contracts have closed out and returned $25 million to the tollway. So in general, you know, our professional services are being delivered well within their budgets. Item 15 is a supplement. It's in the amount of $604,192.96. It's for additional construction management services under contract 4100. And this is with BCP Tollway Partners. That's a joint venture of Bowman Barrett, Christopher Berg, and also Primera. The additional construction management services are necessary. They were working on some 2014 contracts on I-90 East, where we're installing retaining walls on the outside of the roadway. We did have some delays associated with having the utilities be moved out of the way and then also obtaining our Army Corps of Engineers permit. All those items have now cleared now. The contractor is finishing up the work in 2015. We know that it's in our best interest to have this construction management firm finish up and continue this work and complete this project for us. So I'm recommending award of this supplement to them.
So is this a timing issue or is really additional resources?
This is additional resources. Had you know, we not run into these delays with some of the walls that were impacted by the Army Corps permit or by these utilities which we're trying to get relocated, they would have been able to complete, the contractor would have completed all the work before the end of 2014, and the consultant would have been able to manage all of it within that time.
So in that respect, it is timing, right? It's
yes.
Not necessarily that we're bringing a whole bunch of additional people that we hadn't anticipated. It's that we need them out there longer than we had anticipated because the timing of the contract that they're overseeing is...
Item 16, this is a supplement in the amount of $745,413.40 for additional design services. This is under contract 4040 with URS. This contract is providing design services for a portion of Illinois Route 390 between Prospect Avenue and Lively Boulevard. The additional design services are to address an increased level of effort, which was not known and was not included in their original contract, which we negotiated back in November 2012. The work is related to increased environmental and materials analysis, which we are required to perform now for building or designing one of these comp storage sites that we have. And then also we asked them to update some of the construction documents to new standards that we have right now so we can make sure we have a consistent upgraded design all along the corridor. And then also there were requirements that came in from IDOT and some of the local agencies following negotiation of this contract, which we also have to meet, and we want this designer to perform that work for us.
Any questions on this one? Okay.
This last one is a supplement. It's amount in the amount of $101,122. It's for additional construction management services under contract 4047. It's with the DDE Tri-Venture firm of Cotter Consulting, CivCon, and SEQ. These additional services will allow the construction manager to complete the work on this project. And we asked them to extend the contract because we were upgrading some of our ITS designs and we wanted to have those latest ones included in this contract, so it did get extended longer than
ITS is
Intelligent Transportation Systems.
Okay, any question on this one? Let's go to the next one and then we'll do all these together, if that's okay.
All right, the next few are all releases of retainage. So this work has been completed. We've accepted it. They've met all of our expectations. Item 18 is a request for final release of retainage in the amount of $50,000. It's on construction contract 4163 with the board. This contract's finishing within budget. Looks like the DDE is tracking towards meeting. Some of the DDE numbers will not be final at the time we ask for final release of retainage, but we do report how all these contracts end up with respect to the DDE, and in almost every case, they do end up meeting it. It's just the bills, all the bills and all the final paperwork from the subcontractors need to be obtained by the tollway before we upgrade their percentage. We do report that to the board, and we have a quarterly report, which we provide to all the board members.
And we had actually heard some feedback, particularly from some of the subs, that holding up, we used to, I think, hold the final release of retainage until all that paperwork is in, but, you know, you kind of have a chicken and an egg problem, so it was actually holding up payments to some of the subs that we were obviously trying to be thoughtful of in the whole DBE process. So we can always go back and take whatever steps necessary if they fall short, and they shouldn't have, but ultimately, you said you think these are tracking.
They're all tracking toward meeting, and like you mentioned, Gustavo and his department, they do the final evaluation, and they make a determination on whether or not, you know, they did a good faith effort, or, you know, there's cause for any sanction against the firm for not following through on meeting their requirements.
Okay.
Item 19 is a request for final release of retainage in the amount of $73,537.65. It's on construction contract 4169 with William Charles. They're going to finish up within budget and meet the DBE. And item 20 is a request for final release of retainage in the amount of $272,680.27. Signed construction contract 4174 with FH Passion SMUS.
Okay. Are there any questions? If not, we'll take 15 through 20.
I have a point of information.
Yes.
Number 15, I would like to
choose. Okay. Good. That's right. Yes, we will. We'll take 15 separately then, and we're going to take 21 into executive session, and then we'll come back out. So may I hear a motion for number 15?
Motion to approve.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? Director Shillerstam is recusing himself. Any abstentions? Okay. Let's take 16. Thank you. 16 through 20 then. Mayor motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? Okay. Any recusals or abstentions? Okay. Thank you. We'll take up 21 in executive session. Then we'll come back in if the directors are comfortable with it and vote as we go back into open session. Then we'll turn to legal.
So I know David will go through quickly his slides and maybe just again, but I know you put a lot of different items in here, but maybe we'll just focus in on these couple that we have.
Were you going to jump ahead of me though?
No, I think we're going to just do that in executive session.
Yeah.
And I'm happy to stay seated here to avoid travel time.
I think the clicker's up there.
I was also taught not to be the last speaker between a big group and lunch, so I think I've violated that rule too. It's been mentioned a couple times, the legal department resident at the tollway is a Bureau of the Illinois Attorney General's Office. I have the pleasure of leading that group. And I would say that this agency has about the best law department anywhere in the state of Illinois. I'm very proud of the work we do. My entire team, with the exception of a recent hire, are extremely seasoned. You'll see on the org chart here, we have a lot of folks designated as senior assistant attorney generals. I aspire to get to there myself, but I'm not yet. Key department functions won't be of any surprise. I'll blow by them pretty quickly. But I would say for our directors, you should essentially think of the Tollways Law Department as essentially a full-function corporate law department. And I also refer to it oftentimes as the corporate law department for a publicly operating company. With our public debt portfolio that Mike has referenced, we're extremely active. We support the finance operations. You'll be hearing soon about bond transactions in the works. We've been very active in the market up until now. Litigation spans the variety of things that a $1 billion operation running out in the public with things that hit each other often creates litigation. We are working very closely with the board and the executive office. I think any good general counsel needs to personally, but I inject my staff as well into issues of all sorts, both public policy, key litigation, important projects that we're trying to deliver to the public. There are a number of legal matters. And then, of course, we have a number of administrative matters that we want to do very, very well since we meet on a monthly basis. We have committee meetings usually the week before the full board meetings, all of which are governed by the Open Meetings Act, Illinois statute. and we try to do our best to make sure that this agency follows both the letter and the spirit of that act every time we get together. So you will hear occasionally, David, why can't we talk about this right now? Open Meetings Act, let's get it lined up and we'll deal with it soon. You'll hear often about general utility agreements at the board level. I just have you think about this is when things need to move. A lot of entities run their lines, their pipes along the tollway. Often they're out there with permit. Oftentimes we're bumping into them for the first time when we're about to build. If somebody has a permit, the typical protocol is that that entity is on alert that if we come knocking and they need to move, that's going to be at their cost. They understand that at the beginning when they get the permit. If we come across an entity that we are not yet, I'll say, in business with, that's something that Paul and his team are going to have to factor in, and that's going to largely be on the tollways cost. I'm oversimplifying, but you get the point. We have a number of unions here. I tried to list them out for our fantastic employees. And so these union agreements obviously come due. Good news for the board, currently constituted, we've just gone through a number of these negotiations, so I think you're coming in at a time when we're not going to be bringing anything to you of significance. We've done the sweat work in the last few months.
It's actually a miracle. Yes, it is.
And big kudos to a lot of the folks in this room, which you'll get to know a lot better because they have been in the trenches. Land acquisition, we're going to talk about just a bit later, but the tollway is very acquisitive, obviously, with a multi-billion dollar program. The tollway does have condemnation authority by virtue of the Illinois Toll Highway Act, which is our enabling state law statute that put the tollway in business back 50-plus years ago. So we will come to you in partnership with our engineering colleagues in the land acquisition unit. There are issues that pop up in the case of acquiring hundreds of millions of dollars of real estate. Administrative rules, as a state agency, those become very important to us too, and my unit will get quite involved. So oftentimes things, I give you a couple of our more usual suspects topic-wise. We have toll violations and the process we use to deal with the public when we have unpaid tolls, speed limits, other types of signage out on our roadway, roadway procedures. These are things that will start at the staff level often. We will present to you as directors for your concurrence, modification, et cetera, debate. Oftentimes we then, by statute, need to head down to Springfield, so it's already been raised once, to JCAR, that's the Joint Committee on Administrative Rules. That is a group adjunct to the legislature, and they give the final blessing. Then we have publication, notice periods, et cetera, and then you'll see whatever we were talking about actually take place live in the roadway. Very, very shorthanded way of telling you, but that we do need your involvement very actively in those processes. So on today's, when I go back and sit down, I'm going to present to you a couple matters that we refer to as intergovernmental agreements, IGAs. Those are matters where obviously the tollway is contracting with another public entity. You'll see us often in contracts with local villages. You'll see us oftentimes in contract with IDOT because we're partnering on matters and we need to allocate costs and obligations. And you'll see us, as we're going to do today, contracting with our colleagues at State Police, as well as a public university. And it would certainly be U of I, except the specific services we need happen to be done at the University of Nebraska, which is the only place we can go for this. And we're also going to be talking about an IGA with the Village of Franklin Park in a second. Not surprisingly, too, as I indicated, we do get into litigation and disputes. We do our damnedest to get very fair and equitable results achieved for the tollway. Oftentimes that includes paying somebody on the other side of a matter. We watch over our workers' comp portfolio, injuries at work. We have our share of those. And today we're going to be talking about just what I would call a garden variety contract dispute. And I will talk to you the way we do that typically is in executive session. We get an exception to the Illinois Open Meetings Act to go into private session, talk about litigation, both pending and threatened. We'll discuss it, we'll debate, we'll give you a recommendation, we'll come back out in a public setting and always note for the public record who we've settled with. So that's very clear. Okay, Anna, thank you.
So the first item under the legal agenda is one of these IGAs with the Village of Franklin Park, as you'll hear frequently. tollway construction is happening either in or near a village's limits, in this case in Franklin Park, and we are essentially going to be splitting some costs and obligations with the village, who's actually doing some work of their own. So we laid this out in an intergovernmental agreement. This one consists of a project at this stage referred to as S11-1, where we're doing some excavating and expansion of detention basins, construction of pump stations, storm sewer installation, and the creation of some embankment for the tollway. We are also doing a separate project, I'll call it S11-2, as we identified in the agreement. This includes further construction of storm sewer material, and then we're going to be dealing with some roads in the area. Local roads need reconstruction, a cul-de-sac build, et cetera. Some of this work is going to happen in 2016, some is going to happen in 2017, and what we've agreed with for the Village of Franklin Park, they've already done some advanced engineering work on these to get designs ready. They will take those designs to the next phase, for which we will reimburse them. They will also be taking the lead on that second project in 2017 on a lot of the construction, which happens within their limits, their local streets, obviously being done because of the tollway activities, and so we will reimburse them for that construction work. There's some additional work as part of that project, which is really things they want to do. You saw how we talked about it with Menard's bridge example. We will not be paying for some additional work, about $1 million, for some extra lighting and water main work that they want to do while they're out there. High-level summary, quick, I understand, but essentially we're splitting allocations and obligations for the rest of this project.
Any questions on that? I believe that Director Shulston is going to recuse himself on this one, so we'll take this one over. Okay, so maybe...
Chair, I need to recuse myself on that one as well.
Okay, so we have two recusals. We still have enough votes to approve this. May I hear a motion?
Motion approved.
Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All opposed? We have two recusals, no abstentions. Okay, thank you. We'll take two.
Thanks. Number two is actually amending a resolution that this board dealt with back in February of this year. And as I alluded to, we are engaging effectively with the University of Nebraska, who houses something known as the Midwest Roadside Safety Facility. They do safety studies for transportation organizations such as the tollway. In this case, we are having some light poles studied, known as breakaway light poles. They break a certain way. Paul, I know I'm butchering the engineering. We are studying how safe those can be in proximity to guardrail. There are standards in the industry. We want to see if some of these breakaway poles can essentially be used in closer proximity to our guardrail. You ask why. We don't have to reinforce the guardrail quite as much if we can move it closer to the guardrail. Typically, if it is closer, it requires a lot more reinforcement of the guardrail. That starts adding up over 20 and 30 miles. So we have already set last meeting that we are going down for this study. Since came to our attention that the more cost-effective way is to have the DOT, Department of Transportation, in Nebraska come in as a partner with us on this contract. And as I say, that assures us wholesale rather than retail pricing.
Okay.
So we would like to have our prior February resolution amended to bring in the Nebraska Department of Roads, as they're called down there, as a party to the contract. They will sign on and effectively serve as our conduit for making payments to the university.
Okay, let's do this one and the next one together since we don't have any
to. Number three,
and
very...
questions on the Nebraska.
Sure.
Okay.
Number three, very quickly, an IGA with the Illinois State Police. In advance of some work that John Donato will run is a full-way led procurement for motorcycles for District 15, our resident Illinois State Police District. We're going to be borrowing from the Illinois State Police four motorcycles the guys in District 15 will use. And so this is just an IGA saying we're going to get them, we agree to maintain them, insure them, and no additional cost.
Okay. And number four, we're going to take up an
number four, we'll do an executive
session.
Number.
So if I may hear a motion on... two and three, please.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? No recusals or abstentions. Thank you very much. I don't believe we have any unfinished business, item seven. I don't believe on item eight we have any new business. Before we go into executive session, I just want to reiterate how grateful I am personally, and I know Christy is too, to all of the people who are involved in the tollway staffing of the board. We're going to launch into a new era here. We have a lot of orientation materials we're going to do, and I know that everybody's extremely interested and exciting about making sure that your tenure on the tollway is informative and that you have everything you need to make the kinds of decisions you feel comfortable with, and everybody I know will bend over backwards to make sure that we do that. So I want to, in advance, thank all the people who are going to be bending over backwards, and thanking the directors for their continuing participation, and also, as Christy mentioned, thank the directors who have been who have stepped down from the tollway, and we look forward to having them follow our work and feel good about the things that they left for the new directors and the remaining directors to finish up, because there's still some very big problems and issues that we have to address. So thank you very much. May I hear a motion to go into executive session, please?
Oh, thank you. And for the new directors, we do this. This is a little form under the Illinois Open Meetings Act. We need to cite specifically the sections that are allowed as exceptions to enter a public session, private session. So this month it will be to move into executive session pursuant to exception of the Illinois Open Meetings Act, Section 2C2, to discuss collective bargaining issues for the tollway, 2C5 to discuss land acquisition items for the tollway, 2C7 to discuss security issuance of the tollway, 2C11 to discuss litigation items for the tollway, and 2C21 to discuss the minutes of prior closed board meetings.
Okay, thank you. So that's the motion. May I hear a second to that motion, please?
Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? I think, what do we need, a 10-minute break? Okay, so we'll take a 10-minute break. We'll come back at 11:25, which is the closed session. And thank you all very much for your patience.